Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
VII Remake is not over. Is it ever over? It's really just getting started. And we are just getting started here at Post Show Recaps. I'm not a bad person. I just sometimes have to do bad things. I'm Brooklyn Zed, and I'm here with Adam. Is that your name? What was your name again? Adam?
It's Adam.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks for remembering that. I fell on these flowers that they broke my fall. Perfectly somehow.
Yeah.
Even though we needed parachutes last time, this humble little bed of flowers will do the trick this time. No worries. It'll be fine.
So you're good to be my bodyguard?
I guess.
Great. You want a high five?
Sure. Let's high five. What are you going to pay me?
You definitely don't want to high five. We are here talking about Chapter 8 of Final Fantasy VII Remake, Budding Bodyguard. Cloud is going to hang out with... This is our Aerith hangout chapter. It's a lot of vibes. Lots of Aerith vibes.
There is. Yeah, there's a lot of just like, hey, let's walk and talk. And we're going to just walk and talk for ages. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of making this a cutscene, we're going to like have you move, but it's all determined. Like, this is just going to be what the dialogue is. It's a very vibe session. It's fine. I kind of liked it.
You kind of liked it. A ringing endorsement. I kind of liked it.
Ironically, the parts that were not the vibes element of this chapter, those were the weakest parts, and so mm-hmm. It's like, okay, there were like elements of this that I did enjoy that were like very fun and whimsical. We like are talking to some flowers, like what's going on, but like that's kind of fun. And then it's like, okay, let's just squeeze in two of basically the same boss fight for whatever reason into this one chapter. And then, of course, side quests. So there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on in this chapter.
Yeah. Side quests. They're a thing that are in this chapter.
There's a long chapter. That okay? We got to the... Whatever. We'll skip ahead a little bit here. We got to this point in the chapter. I had been playing for probably an hour, hour and a half. I don't know. We'll talk about how long it took me to do the first boss fight. But, like, you know, it's you know, I had played for a good long while. And I had not gotten to the side quest yet. And Zed was like, have you done any of the side quests? And I'm over here like, what side quest?
Well, because you said, this is a long chapter. And I said, yeah, that's why it's only one this week. Are you doing all the side quests? You said, there are side quests. And I said, oh, no.
Yeah, at that point, I had not unlocked any of this. I had not gotten to the point in the story where the side quests were even available. Yeah.
Sweet Mike Edwards was like, maybe he's just done them and didn't even... I was like... He was like, if he thinks it's a really long chapter, he's probably just done the side quest and not realized it. And I was like, no, I can confirm. Yep. At this point in time, he had not started the side quest.
Yeah, I appreciate the generous read, Mike. I really do. But that was just not the case.
He's like, oh, we just picked some flowers. I was like, oh, you have so much left.
Yeah, there was so much this chapter. I had a really busy week, but do you want to guess at this point? I did put in the Discord channel, like, should we do bets on how many of the side quests that I did? The over underline was set at 0.5, aka, did I do a side quest? Zed, what do you think? Did I do side quests? If I did, how many of them?
Well, let me ask you one question. Did you meet Moggy?
I did not call them Moggy, but
that's their name.
Well, I thought it was Moogie.
Oh, all right. Well, it's not, but okay.
Yes.
But so yes, you did.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, so you did like at least three or four, because you have to do a certain number of them to get to that one. And then that's the easiest one to do. It's literally just talking to him. So I'm going to say four.
Okay, well, this was a bad... This is why I want to do the over-under, because I have no idea how many side quests there were, but Zed, I did all of them!
All of them is six.
I did all of the side quests!
Yeah,
I
so
did
you fought the Cro-Maugr and everything.
Wait, what? Sorry,
that's
what?
The one with the big iron ball.
It was the graveyard. I guess we're talking about this. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Kind of.
There was one thing that I didn't do. Maybe we could talk about that right at the beginning. It was one thing that I didn't do that I didn't even know I was like supposed to do. It's like said I could do it, and then I was like, what is this? The VR fight with what's his face? Chadley.
Yes.
He had like a VR fight for me for a like fighting a summon.
That's how you unlock the summons. You should do those.
I did not do that, mainly because I was like, is this part of the game? Like, what? Why is this here?
Chadley is helpful. You need to Chadley get over whatever this Chadley hate
anything
is.
Anything for
because
me.
Because you're not doing the things he asks you to do, Adam.
Listen, in this video game world, I expect everyone else to bend to my will, okay? If they are not willing to give me everything without me giving nothing in return, what are we doing here? You know?
You're being a merc. You're helping people out.
What? I have been assessing more stuff recently. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so good. That's
a start.
You know, not obviously not everything. Who's got time for that? I don't have time to waste that ATB bar, Zed. I have other things to do. My characters are dying while they're on their dying breath. You know, I don't think Cloud's going to go like, okay, well, time to figure out what's going on here.
I mean, from over here in hard mode, I say, cry me a river with your
ATB bars. I will. You've played the game like three times, okay? I will cry you a river over here on the first walkthrough. Okay, so let's start back at the very beginning here and go through this, because there was actually a lot going on in this chapter.
The start of this chapter is a boss fight, which is not a structure we've encountered before.
Nor is it a structure I would like to encounter again. I don't like this at all. Okay, so we're in the church, whatever. That's where we ended up. We're talking to Aerith, who's immediately like, oh, hey, you're the bodyguard now. Congrats. And then in comes in the Turks. And so I obviously do remember this from Final Fantasy VII. We get the Turks. We get Reno. Yes. I actually do like that music a lot. Reno comes in, his spiky red hair, and then boom, we're fighting. This was a tough fight, Zed. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with this. I had to try a lot of different things to figure out how to like do this in a way that I was going to survive. I probably died like three times. Like I was just trying new things. It was a one-on-one fight, which are, at least in my opinion, probably the hardest. Cause it's like, you can't, sometimes I like to hide behind the people who are long range and just like pew, 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 shoot them. Because, and then let everyone else do their thing. This was just Cloud straight up. Eventually I kind of, the mechanic that I did figure out that I basically had not done up until this point was that if I am like blocking, if I am actually guarding against an attack and he comes in like super close to me because he's ridiculously fast, if he comes in, then I can like parry or counterattack or something like that and do damage, which helps tremendously. Because basically every normal attack I was making was just, doing nothing because it couldn't hit because he was like so ridiculously fast. This was a hard fight. This was a hard opening fight. It was, you know, there was a couple things. It was also very frustrating because I had to like go back and kill the guards again and again and again every time. And it's like, they're so, that's like such an easy part of it. And then it ramps up so quickly. He also had these like electricity balls that he was throwing at me for whatever reason. The dude's fists were fine. I mean, the magic was fine. Like, he needs a lot of help. I don't know why you put those there. But yeah, you know, you just had to kill those and dodge the middle of them. So that was fine. But this was hard. It took me a couple tries here. And it was a very statement opening for chapter 8 here with the boss fight.
Yeah. Reno doesn't like doing cleanup, but he's good at it, is what he says, after these goons cannot accomplish anything.
And we continue to do one of my least favorite things in video games, where we take an entire health bar down and they are fine afterwards. whereas my entire health bar goes down, we lose the game. So not sure what's going on there.
Yeah. Once we're up in the rafters, if you're looking down, you see him kind of like stagger limping.
He's
out
fine.
Of the church.
He's being dramatic. He's fine. yeah, so we do that fight. And then basically the next massive portion of this game is how do we get to sector set 7, right?
Well, that's where Cloud's going to go back to. But first he's taking Aerith home back in sector 5.
I didn't write down the sector number. They're all, it's whatever. They're all just numbers. Sector 5. I knew it was like 2 away from 7. I didn't know. Okay, whatever. Anyway, going to sector 5 because that is where Aerith lives. And we are now her bodyguard. I have a couple thoughts here about the massive walk. It was a long walk across the rooftops through the rafters. I had to like climb on whatever the church ceiling to hang from a chandelier, and
we encounter some more dementors. Yeah,
we get a lot more dementors, of course, that are helping us.
They save Aerith from falling when she like falls through a bit of like old rotted railing,
old
I guess.
Something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not sure why they were helping. Interesting. Well, I mean, you know, obviously she's important, so maybe they don't want her to die. That actually kind of tracks. Okay. So we go, they were climbing on ceilings, we're swinging from chandeliers, we're saving lives.
Yeah, did you enjoy your FF7 monkey bars?
No, not at all. Because I once you like go all the way, there's no way to get back from the other side. It's like you have to go back to the middle and then, oh, it's whatever.
Yeah, I find it pretty tedious.
It was very annoying and I was getting shot at the whole time. Good thing
and
bullets,
you can't block, you can't, yeah, it's kind of like it's like a health timer almost. Well, like, it you is, better scoot.
Yeah, it is, except bullets only do like 2 damage, so I you know, somehow I don't know how that logic works, but whatever. We go back and we're walking through, so a couple thoughts on the massive rooftop walk back here as we are getting to sector 5. I will say I really did not like Aerith at first here. At the beginning of this chapter, I think that she is really weak. They present her as really weak. She like stumbles and falls like 3 times. She keeps claiming, oh, I got this, I don't need you, but then also is simultaneously yelling at me to do like bodyguard stuff. She's like falling off of ropes and we have to like catch her. Uh-huh. They have these very contrived moments where I'm just like, listen, Aerith can like be powerful. That's fine. Like, I like that is where this should be. I don't need like these damsel in distress weird moments here as I'm like being her bodyguard going forward, right? Like, I feel like I'm okay if she is like one of the strongest people in the game. That is not a problem to me. Why is she being presented like this? I was very confused. It didn't feel like it was reminiscent of Final Fantasy VII in this particular portion of it. And I also feel like Jesse was obviously very flirty with us earlier in the game. I do miss Jesse and the whole gang back there. She's very flirty with us earlier in the game. I thought Aeris was like way flirtier here. Like, mm-hmm. This was a lot. And like a lot. And I will just say, being someone's bodyguard in this situation of life or death, where literally a Turk just came in and tried to kill you, and we're gonna get more later on, the only payment you give is a date, one singular date for that all of this enough. Work. How should that be enough? Said, I have not gone on a date in my entire life that would be worth this amount, this amount of work. There's just no way that this is ever worth it. In any capacity. Sam, would you ever pay for something in a date?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's a terrible form of payment. Terrible
not,
form
not
of payment.
With someone not already dating.
Yeah, well, even then.
To be clear.
a terrible form of payment. I really, this whole element of it, I liked that there was the back and forth. They were talking a little about, the past and stuff like that, or whatever, discovering stuff about each other. Get rid of the, she's in trouble and she can't do it and Cloud needs to save her bit. Get rid of that and I'm fine. But there was just so much of that this was not as enjoyable as I wanted it to be walking across the rooftop, just because there was so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, my notes literally just say, saw Aeris fall a million times. we get back... I don't even know what this context is from, because there was so much in this game. I have written down, eat ourselves stupid. Someone says that. I don't know.
She says that because you're taking her back home and she's hyping up her mom's cooking.
Oh, yes. Moms are very good at cooking in this game, whether it be Jesse or Aeris or whoever. We never did get that... Jesse special there.
No, we didn't.
That's unfortunate. Okay, so as we get back into Sector 5, basically everywhere we go, people are stopping her because she is apparently very helpful around town. She helps out at a lot of places.
She's so generous.
She's very generous. She helps at the restaurant. She helps with all these kids. A lot of kids in this game, Zed. A lot of kids, especially in this sector. There are kids running rampant. And it's our responsibility to help them.
Yeah, because they're orphans, Adam.
Okay, but there's still a lot of kids. I can only do so many kids. There's also a doctor that she sometimes helps and stuff like that. And we'll get back to a lot of this a little bit later when we get to all the side quests. But first, we do go to her house, and I have to say, this I think is where Remake kind of stands pretty far and above original Final Fantasy VII in terms of especially the graphics, obviously, but the way that the transition going to Aeris's house, and it literally looks like a tropical paradise. The way that they are able to do the foliage and the plants and the whole scenery is outstanding. I think it really sets the vibe perfectly. And it looked really, really cool. I would love to live there. I'm not even a big flower guy, but I would love to live there.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. You know, my feeling is we get this view of her that I did not especially have in the original game. We talked about the generational wealth. She lives in this beautiful house with this beautiful garden. That is to the millionth degree in this version of the game. And as we see her walking through the town and we're interacting with the doctor and the restaurant guy and whatever, it's oh yeah, it's so fun to help out the poors. Because yeah. She's a rich white girl, so she can do that. Yikes. And then she literally says, because I'm so generous.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, not the best look, Aaron. No, gotta say,
not great. It's not great. Yeah, it's not great.
It's so fun helping out at the restaurant. I don't need a job. It's just fun to help out.
I'd love to just hop in there. yeah, I mean,
I think it comes from a good place, but I think there is a definitive lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, and I don't know if the game is like trying to get me to acknowledge that lack of self-awareness, because I just don't think it is. I think this is 100% supposed to just be like, oh, look how nice Aris is.
Yes, I agree.
Like, that is all that we're supposed to take away from this, I think. And it's just not all take. Anyway, okay. We get, then of course we have to pick some flowers, to make into a nice little bouquet for the school that's there.
Yeah. They make a mural on the side of the leaf house.
Yeah.
And depending on what combination of flowers you pick, it does make different designs.
I didn't even pay attention to which flowers I picked. I just picked the three nearest ones.
Yeah, color me shocked.
I only saw three. So like, I don't know where else I was.
Well,
there
but
was
you
another...
can pick like... all the same one.
Oh,
one, for
okay.
Instance.
That's not very much of a bouquet if it's like all just one. Anyway, whatever. Okay. And then she basically was like, go hang around town for a while. Boop-a-doop-a-doo.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy. So you go wander around.
Yeah, you're fine without me, right? This is where I talked to Chadley, who I actually think I did buy another piece of material from him, but I don't remember what it was. I didn't write it down. But he does have some other stuff there. And then he tells me about this summon materia in VR, which I just did not do. I guess I could go back and do that later in a different place, probably, or whatever. But
you're going to want to have more summons. You can only ever use one in any given battle. But
are there going to be situations where only some summons are able to be activated?
Well... so you can equip one summon per character, right?
Yeah.
And the summon bar only appears at certain times. And once it's used, that's it for the battle. You can only use it the one time, regardless of which summon you use. But for instance, if you're fighting someone who's weak to fire, you want Ifrit. But if you're fighting someone who's weak to ice, you want Shiva. I had to think, nope, I did it wrong. It's Shiva. But I always say Shiva because I'm Jewish. So there are different elements attached to the different summons, and they can be useful in different circumstances.
But it's not like the summon bar will only appear if you have X or Y thing.
No.
Okay, it'll always appear.
It'll always come up, okay. But you want to have options.
Okay, so we'll go back and do that later. Chadley's still not impressing me all that much. Maybe that'll change. I know there are legit Chadley stans. I don't get a lot of feedback for a lot of the podcasts that I do, mainly because I'm assuming people are not listening. But like, the Chadley stans came out. And it's, I respect it. I really do. Like, I respect the love for Chadley. I just don't get it yet. Like, maybe I'm missing something, and it'll you know, bite me in the butt later, or I'll have a change of heart. Who knows? But I'm willing to ride with you, Chadley stans. Like, I'm willing to be there. I just need to understand the why of it. Like, why am I standing Chadley? So we'll see. We'll see how it is going forward. He also has a little bit of an annoying voice, in my opinion. Okay. Anyway, we go back. Let's see. There's a lot. Yeah, there's just like a ton going on. We meet the kids. I think this is where we see the kids kind of back over there.
Yeah. So with Aerith, as we're first going through, we meet Oats.
Yes, of course.
Who looks very cool. He's got that awesome scarf. I'm all about it.
Can I say something about like all of the kids / all of like the weird guy NPCs in this game? What's the... oh my, I should have looked this up. The Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie. What is it?
Josh could tell you.
They're on a road. Just go. Is it just go with it?
I don't know. Where are you going with this? Is the real question.
There's a kid. There's a kid in that movie. who I swear to God, every single NPC looks like in this game. And I don't know the actor's name. It's not just, okay, it's not just go with it.
That is a movie they were in together.
I know. They did so many movies together, didn't they?
Is it recent? Is this important?
No, it's not. It almost never is. All right, whatever. I'll come. I should have looked this up.
Continue. You'll find it later.
I'll figure it out. Anyway, everyone looks like that. We meet a bunch of the kids, including Oates. And so this is the point where we find their hideout. They have a special little hideout that is basically right in the middle of town, and very easily accessible. Kind of, we have to like scoot around there, and mm-hmm. you know,
no grown-ups allowed.
For me, it's fine. They really have a lot of trust. They have a lot of trust letting just like some guy with the biggest sword ever, just walk right in.
Yeah. Well, so prior to that, you've like collected all the children for Miss Folia.
Yes, we did have to bring them back. Well, that was that one of the, I feel like I did other things along with that. There were a couple of side quests here, because I did my other complaint about this game. When I have multiple side quests that I have accepted, which was the case here, I had to go like kill monsters out on the outside of town, and I had to bring kids back. It doesn't show me the markers for both simultaneously on the like mini map up there, mm-hmm. and so it'll only show me the one that's like at the top of the list.
You're tracking, yeah.
Except I would like to track them both, because you would think I could like multitask here, especially since they let me accept multiple side quests simultaneously. Like, why would they not let me track them both simultaneously? I don't know, but they don't. So we bring all the kids back to class, and then this was the time where I also went out of town. Let's see, what's the we just went out of town and killed some stuff. I didn't even like write down what it was that we killed, because the first one was so boring. It was just like monsters out there.
Uh-huh.
It was basically the same thing that we did in the previous.
Is this at the graveyard that you're talking about?
No, because that was with the guy's freaking wife. No, there was one before that. The guy in like the outskirts of town, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the scared man.
Yeah, the scared.
And then it's like his father I think it's his mother who is buried in this graveyard, but he doesn't tell you that when he's just like, hey, can you go help this guy? Do me a favor and help this guy.
I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, so you go rescue the children from the smogger way out, like past the hideout is part of it.
Yes. Way out there. And getting to the thing, there was like this weird little we kind of got it out of the rooftop thing, but there was like we have to push some boxes and like move around to get over. Very annoying, very frustrating, kind of dumb. Why are we doing this? And so we had to basically go back out. And so a lot of these side quests were basically like, hey, you know that place that you basically just came from that had almost nothing in it when you went through 5 minutes ago? It's infested with monsters. How about you go kill them? And it's like, okay, I would have killed them on the way here had they just been there, but whatever. Now they appeared. So we did that. Mm-hmm. We brought the kids back, and then we went to the hideout. Is that what was happening? Because we brought the kids back, the kids thought we were cool. And they were like, hey, you can come to the hideout.
let's see. You do kids on patrol after you do a verified hero, which is when you help. It unlocks a verified hero. So you go find all the kids and you bring them back to the Leaf House. And then they're like, hey, you got to help us. I think this is when you have to fight the Toad King.
Is
the what are they called? Oh my goodness. Hedgehog pies.
Yeah, oh my god, those are so annoying.
They are, and they jump on your head, and I don't like it.
Yeah, they do. They do this weird jump maneuver. Very important news. I did find the movie. It's We're the Millers. Have you ever seen We're the Millers?
No.
Okay, anyway, his name is Will Poulter.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the kid.
It's and all the kids look like this.
Of the kids look like this kid. It's because of the freckle pattern. That's what it is. All of the kids in this game have a freckle pattern. I know that. That's why this came to me, because it's like, yes, this is okay. So there has to be at least one person listening to this that's like, yeah, Adam, I can get this. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, someone will know.
Hopefully, although
just to be clear, it's not an Adam Sandler movie. Which is why I couldn't find it for you. I was on Adam Sandler's IMDb.
Me too. It is Jennifer Aniston, though. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
And Ed Helms, who has a great podcast I've been listening to, which is neither here nor there.
This cast is actually stacked. Katherine Hahn and Nick Offerman as well. Emma Roberts. Wow, okay.
So I guess go watch We Are the Millers and see if the kid looks like every kid in this game.
He does. All the guys anyway. He really does. I'm serious. Okay. We kill the Toad King. We get the street cred, and then we get invited back to the thing where I do have here. We meet Moogie and Koopo. We saw a little kid dressed in a Koopo.
Dressed as a
Moogle. I don't know how I'm like really supposed to know this. I know a little bit of it from Final Fantasy 14, but I don't know that I could take that to like be canon for what I should assume is going to happen in this game.
Well, so you've done the like, you've met the Moogles in Final Fantasy 14, right? Like you've been to the place where they are.
Yes, when they were trying to summon the Moogle King. Yeah, King Moogle or whatever.
That's what Moogles look like.
Yeah.
They're little like pink guys with little wings and little baubles on their heads.
Yes.
And this guy, Moggy,
is
in a little costume with a little bauble on his head.
Are you sure it's Moggy and not Moogie?
Yes, it's 1-0.
Can I call him Moogie anyway?
I mean, you can. Clearly you're gonna.
I like Moogie. And the note that I do have here is that they are collecting these Moogle medals.
Yes.
Which I had like been weirdly picking up for. I think I had 12 of them.
Yeah, all over the place in places that make no sense.
Yeah, there's just randomly Moogle medals all over the place. No clue why they're there.
You're like in the Shinra parking lot, and they're like, "You found a Moogle medal.
Time for a Moogle medal." And I had no idea what they did up until this point. I didn't even have a guess as to what they did up until this point. I was like, "Who knows?" Turns out I'm selling them to kids in exchange for items, specifically items that unlock graveyards. And I will
Moogles
say,
are an iconic part of Final Fantasy. They are in like all the Final Fantasy games, except really Final Fantasy VII, where the closest thing you get is Kate Sith is technically a stuffed Moogle with a cat on top. And I won't accept that.
I won't accept Kate Sith either. Don't worry. However, the slight pushback I have said, when I was in the Golden Saucer in Final Fantasy VII, there was a Moogle game.
Yes, I made you play it.
Yeah,
it's called Mog's House.
I know you did.
It's iconic.
It was very unenjoyable. anyway, we trade some of our Moogle medals in for a graveyard key, which I did take before I even knew that we were going to the graveyard, because like of course like we're why are they offering me a graveyard key? Like I'm gonna take this graveyard key from a kid in exchange for random shit I've been picking up. Why wouldn't I do that? Okay, so we get that, we go back out. Our next series of side quests start by killing some robots as we get out. Turns out there are some Shinra robots that maybe have been like leaking down since the explosion is their theory, coming down here threatening people. So we have to go kill some robots. There were two sets of them. Kind of annoying.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But this might be a good time to talk about the fact that because Aeris is in the party, I cannot play as Aeris, which is very exciting because ranged magic user. I mean, come on. That's like right up my alley. I absolutely love it. Playing as Aeris is very fun. She just shoots magic things at people. Which is very enjoyable. I will say her limit breaks are a little underwhelming in terms of like the damage department. I do love the healing. Seeing healing wind there is really, really cool. Just because like that was always a big moment in Final Fantasy VII when she was able to like limit break and heal everyone basically for free. And then the other one that I do think is interesting, is, what was it called? Focus, refocus or something like that. Yeah. Where she gets to turn her two bars into three so they fill up faster.
So that's a materia, and you can equip that to any character.
Oh.
It's a limit break that anyone can use through that materia, and it will turn your ATB bar into three.
Interesting. Well, I'll probably end up trying it on everyone just to like see how it feels, but I will say I actually like it on Aeris, number one, because of her ability Prey that she has, which costs two.
That's also a materia. It's one of the yellow ones.
Yeah.
Refocus is pink, Prey is yellow, and if you are ever going to play in hard mode, you want to be leveling up Prey as much as you can because that is healing that does not cost magic. Prey and Chakra are the two. Chakra heals just yourself and for a percentage of the HP you've lost. Prey heals everybody and it just like goes up in how much it heals you for as you level up the materia. Hugely important in the long game. And also just useful if you have, you know, if you're trying to manage your total magic in general.
Yeah, total magic. And then like it costs nothing, like you said, especially when I'm splitting it into three bars and it only takes now two of the smaller bars to heal everyone with Prey. I feel like that's actually a really good combination.
And I guess additionally, because there's only one, like the equivalent of all in Remake is called Magnify. And so you center whatever spell you're doing on one target and it magnifies it out to the other ones, whether that's all your enemies or all of your party members. And so I very often have Magnify healing equipped so that you can heal everybody at once. But you probably don't have that materia yet. And having Prey is therefore the only way that you can like heal your whole party at the same time. So it is definitely useful in that regard.
We might have to have a longer talk about the word magnify and what that means in terms of...
They really mean more like extrapolate.
Yeah, because magnify is not the word.
It magnifies the effects.
No, it doesn't.
It expands them.
It does do that if you pick another word.
If you magnify it, you're visually expanding it. Listen. I didn't go to school for math.
This isn't even math. This is vocabulary. Okay. okay, so we then had to go back out and pay respects to the old man's wife who was in the graveyard. So we had to go kill that thing with the freaking wrecking ball out there.
Yeah, that's the Cro-Maugher. It's terrible. It killed me several times in hard mode. I do not like it.
Okay, so I didn't die to any of like the side quest bosses. I didn't. It wasn't like particularly hard or like any. You know, it's like it was a fine fight. It was. I thought it was like actually a pretty good fight because there were a couple mechanics that, you know, you had to run away when it was doing the thing, and then I was switching pretty consistently between the two. Obviously, Prey came in clutch, and knowing like when to use limit breaks is also very important here. I don't know. I didn't mind this fight. I thought it was like decently difficult, not as hard as either of the boss fights that came though in this chapter. And then the only other side quest that I have written down, there might have been another one, but the only other side quest that I have written down is when we're talking to the reporter. There is a reporter here. And he wants to get the scoop on what's going on. We have to go interview people in town. We eventually talk to a person, and then we hear word of the guardian angel of the slums, someone who is going in and just robbing people blind, and they have a calling card that they're using. And I will say, I did put this in parentheses here because I thought it was very funny. They said, Don Corneo is the next target. And it's like, okay, that's, we'll see, hopefully. Maybe. And then we have to go out and that's where we kill the thing, that we just talked about. And then, get the card and that's it. Those are the side quests. Am I missing anything side quest wise? I went through them decently quickly, but they're all side quests. So.
They're all side quests, but a big part of what side quests are is really like building out the world of the game, I think. Yeah. And in chapter 8, and then again in chapter 14, where you'll be back in sector 5, you really get to see like what people care about and how they're living their lives and like the community that exists here, which I really like. Some of the tasks definitely are kind of tedious, no matter how many times I play. Finding the children is miserable to me.
Yeah.
I can never remember. I know where like two of them are by heart, and I can never remember where the other three are. Same thing with Betty's lost cats. Always a little bit of a struggle. But I like that the world feels so full and so lived in, and you know, they have these things that they care about, and these kids are like so proud of helping someone cross the street in a place that has no traffic. I don't know about that. But yeah, I think you got it. We saved the kids. We protected them from the hedgehog pie king or whatever.
I forgot about something.
Whack-a-box!
A mini game that I did play. We smashed the boxes. That was it. That was the full game.
I love Whack-a-Box. It's very satisfying.
I don't know that I did particularly well, but whatever. It was, we just smashed the boxes.
Yeah. It's fun to play later after you've made it through the whole game and you have like your super powered up weapons and you can just like blast through stuff. You just equip yourself to do the most damage possible, and go for it. I also want to just note that Adam is drinking coffee out of a mug that has a certain gesture on the bottom of it and is flipping me off every time he takes a sip out of his coffee.
The mug, gosh, I'm just blowing on my spot here. This is my favorite mug. It was ironically given to me by my apartment complex. It says, have a great day, right on the sign. And then when I'm drinking it...
I'm just being flipped the bird on a heated basis. And I cannot let this stand any longer.
It's a very funny mug, and I love it a lot. Okay, mug aside, those are the side quests. That's all we did for the side quests. Like you said, we'll probably be coming back to this place later, so we'll talk more about this sector in the future. But the next thing, of course, that happens here, we run across Rude, our second Turk of the chapter, not even of the kids, just the chapter. This one individual chapter has two Turk fights, and then I love how we just agree to have a little duel here in this conveniently placed
in this random corral that exists for literally no other purpose.
There's nothing
in the
else in
game.
There. It's Duel City, baby. Yeah. We get in there, and I just have to say, there are two moments in here that make me swoon for this part of the game. Number one, he does the glasses push. And as anyone who knows me knows how much of a fan of the glasses push I am. When they're down a little bit, I'm doing it, but no one cares. No one sees. You just do a little push them up, and it just, oh, it elevates everything. And number two, Zed, in the middle of this fight, as we are fighting, he pulls out a second pair of glasses.
Oh, yeah, he does.
That is the most badass thing I could even think of. That
He's
is amazing.
Not a bad guy.
He's not a
he
bad
just
guy.
Has to do bad things.
Yeah.
Doing bad things requires always being prepared with backup shades.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does. That is actually facts. Okay, so the one thing I will say, I'm still a little confused on why at the beginning of this very clearly staged fight, Eris is like, he's not a, don't hurt him. Like, dude, we don't, like, Eris seems to be on his side as though she knows him. And it's like, okay, but also he's trying to kill me right now. And like, maybe we put that, whatever, aside. And, you know, Eris does obviously help in the fight, but like, why was there any like vouching here at the beginning of the fight when it was like he's trying to kill us? Uh-huh. Clear cut. Very, you know, little much for me, Eris. I don't know what to say. I will say I did this fight once before I did any of the side quests, just because I was like, you know, curious to, it was the next thing. I just stumbled upon it because it wasn't like a marker or anything. You just like walk up on Rude and like, yeah, it just happens. And so
and
it wasn't,
I think you actually can do it that way.
I think you can too.
Because it's not until you get back to the house that Aerith is like, you want to go inside already or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we've been out all day. We did literally everything we could do.
Yeah, spoiler, she asked me that question after I had done all of the side quests.
Yeah, but I like, think if you go do the Rude fight first for whatever reason, you could get to the house and she'd be like, are you ready to go inside? And be like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah, oops. And then go to the side quest. Yeah. Yeah, so I tried it once before I did the side quest, and I died. It didn't go very well. And then, of course, all the side quests, I was leveling and whatever. And it was actually a decently easy fight on the back end of that. So, you know, once we had actually leveled up and gotten a little bit stronger, it was a lot easier. He did have some moves which were, like, kind of annoying. The sleep is very frustrating. Mm-hmm. This also happened in one of the side quest fights. I don't remember exactly. Maybe it was the Toad King that put us, I don't know. One of the side quest fights also put us to sleep, which is very frustrating. I'm sure there's, no one yell at me. No one yell at me. I know that there's probably something I could equip that would prevent sleep. I'm not here to be yelled at, okay? My characters are wearing what they're going to wear, okay? I expect no yelling to happen at this point from no one. Not even you, Zed. No yelling.
I'm not going to yell. I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah, okay, fine. I know that, and there's probably an item too. There's probably an item in my inventory that will stop sleep. Although, to be honest, it's like kind of hard to justify mid-fight using a lot of the items. Like, sometimes the items are necessary. Like if whoever has like the revive materia goes down, like then using a Phoenix down, like,
sure,
definitely makes sense to use an item. But like almost every other situation, I find like actually using an item,
it's not worth the time, yeah, or the like the bar,
exactly,
space, because it's like the status effects in Remake are all temporary.
Yes, thank God.
And it can be tough if you're waiting out a silence and you really need to use some magic. But I never, it's an Echo Mist. I never use them. There's something called Solaris. I don't even know what that's for.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through my fourth playthrough of this game and I've never once used Solaris. Or there's some other ones too. It's not worth it. There's, yeah, usually magic that'll fix the problem if you really need it. And otherwise, wait it out. It'll be gone, yeah, soon.
It'll be fine. Items were very much more important at the beginning of the game when I didn't have a lot of healing and I could use potions because not everyone in the party had healing. And so, right, that made a lot more sense. They just kind of don't make sense now. And so people were sleeping.
Yeah, they don't scale up with your health.
No, so not at all. Potions become, still heal like 50 HP or, yeah, something stupid. So,
and I'm out here smashing boxes trying to recover MP and they're like, you got a potion. And And I'm like, great, I literally can't use that. And I wouldn't want to even if I could. But thanks so much.
Yeah, Rude does some other interesting moves too. He like picks us up and swings us around like we're like, yeah, I don't even
he'll, like,
know.
He'll like whirl Cloud around like he's a discus thrower and then hurl you into Aerith.
Yes. Which I don't know. Is that like a mid fight meet cute if you're like getting thrown on somebody? I
feel is like there a cutscene of them going, oh, that's the only way it counts.
No, I don't think there is, but there's the cutscene right in the middle where he gets the second pair of glasses, which is the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life. So anyway. and then of course at the end of the fight, once we get his health bar entirely down, guess what? He's fine. And a helicopter comes to pick him up because he has more important things to do. He gets a call from Reno, I think it is, and it's like, we have other business in sector 7. Where are they going again? Sector 6?
I don't remember. Elsewhere. Wherever.
Yeah, they're going somewhere else. They have other business to attend to. Get on the helicopter that is coming to pick you up right now. And a rope unfurls down. And even though I reiterate yet again, we got his entire health bar down. All of it was gone. The entire health bar. He's able to hang on to a ladder and fly across sectors.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's video game physics for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Rude is also weak to wind, which make I don't know why. That just happens to be the element that he's weak to.
Do I even have wind attacks?
Wind materia you get from Chadley. In fact, when I did this in hard mode this most recent time, we died the first time, and then I went back and bought another wind materia from Chadley so that I could have wind attacks equipped on both of my characters via elemental materia, which is a separate conversation. Because I would bet all of my money that you did not get the elemental materia in Chapter 6.
Was that the one that they were like, don't you want to go back for?
No, that's the Chocobo and Moogle summon that you didn't get.
Oh, okay. Where was the elemental materia?
It's like on a platform that you have to like actively try to get to. It's not just directly on your way to where you're going. It's blue.
Yeah, if there's literally no way of me knowing that there is materia to obtain, then I definitely did not get it.
I mean, it glows the way all the materia glows with its little like spike of color sticking.
Did we
up.
See it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then no,
I would check. I would be so shocked if you have it. Okay. But if you do, it is another one of the most critical materia in the game to use. Because for instance, okay. And someone's going to want to explain this on Discord, so let me just say it here. In the Reno fight, if you have elemental and lightning, excuse me, paired on your armor, it will reduce the damage or negate the damage or absorb the damage depending on how leveled up that the elemental is. So it reached for me, like Reno basically couldn't hurt me because lightning didn't do anything to Cloud. So he was just running through those little lightning balls, hitting them because he was immune to their damage.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, things to learn for my next playthrough that will never happen. So, okay, so we finish dealing kind of, not really, like we really did nothing here. Rude left. He just left us. He was like, I have more important things to do. And then we go out, and of course, the next thing that we have to do is talk to the flowers.
Yeah.
Aerith has to talk to the flowers. I have personally never talked to flowers in my life. I don't know if you have, Zed, if you're a big flower talker.
I believe studies show that talking to your plants has positive impact on your plants and probably also on yourself.
On yourself, just like you think talking more in general is just like emblematic of probably a healthier lifestyle/mindset?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a level of enlightenment I have not yet reached. We'll see. Aerith talks to the flowers, and then Cloud makes a lot of grunting noises, but then also at the end of the scene talks to the flowers. I did kind of enjoy this. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm here for the most part for basically any and all romance they're willing to give me in this game. I do like it. I will eat it up with a spoon. This was kind of cute. You don't think so, Zed? Zed is like, no, this was disgusting.
What? No, I mean, it's cute because she's like, what did the flower say? And he's like, good job today, guys. He's like so not about it, but he's like making the smallest effort to not be a total jerk.
Yeah. Well, and I will just say,
in contrast to like the start of the chapter where she's like, who'd you give the flower to? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't remember. What a liar. The one thing I will say in Cloud's defense, which I am like very rarely willing to even start a sentence this way, he's doing a lot of work for one date. Like, this is a lot of work for no payment whatsoever.
Yeah, this seems to be a little bit more about, I don't think it's about the date. I think it's more about his like, not even moral compass of like, I feel called to do this, but more about like his reputation of like, I mean, I can't just let this helpless girl go on her own. Gross. I must defend her. I'm a bodyguard. I'm a merc. I'm a man.
Well, again, in his defense, she called him that probably 20 times this chapter. So
sure. But I think that's why he agrees to do it in the first place.
Yes.
Is like, you know, he sees she's visibly in danger. He's not going to just walk away from that. And I think that is less about feeling some moral obligation to her and more about his own ego.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly probably true. Although the next wrinkle here is that after we pick the flowers, we get into the house. Pretty nice house. Ares has to like go get the room ready or whatever. This is a long chapter, Zed. We're still going. Like this is already a lot of stuff happening. We're still going.
Yeah, and we really brushed over our first chat with Elmira.
Yeah, we did.
Now re-encountering.
It's fine. These are basically the same conversations. It happens twice. I don't know why it even happens the first time. We get in there and we get to talk to Eris's mom. Like you said, spoiler alert, she's not going to make the attractiveness rankings. Let me just tell you. I apologize in advance. We get in there and Eris's mom does not approve of us.
Nope.
Forbidden love.
She says, you spell bad news for my daughter. Get out.
Yes, very bad. And so she is telling us to leave in the middle of the night without Eris knowing, which I, of course, I do. That was from Final Fantasy VII, so I do remember that element of it. And then, you know, we have whatever, like a weird dinner scene. We're going to bed. And then comes a very frustrating sequence where we have to get out in the middle of the night. This is so annoying because it's like, get out without waking up Eris, except they freaking booby trap the hallway.
It's in
Home Alone style. Like, why is there so much? Why is it all out there? There's like,
and it's not there before. If you go upstairs when Aerith goes up to like get the baskets or whatever at the beginning, pristine hallway. Yeah. And then she's like, okay, leave in the middle of the night. Don't wake Aerith. I'm going to scatter buckets and plant pots and nonsense all over the floor for no reason. But don't you dare nudge one or you will have to do this over.
Don't touch anything because Eris is the lightest sleeper you could possibly imagine. Yeah.
Maybe she's my downstairs neighbor. That's just a personal issue I'm having right now. but I hate this part of this chapter. I did it in one try this time, and I would like that on the record. Mm-hmm. But there have been previous occasions where it's like four or five times. Because there's just so much. There's a stool.
Yeah,
there's like so all many sorts things. Of things that don't need to be there, just in the middle of the floor.
And the even worse part is once we knock them over, like they're still there the next time. Because like the first time I knocked over a chair, Eris comes out. Oh, Cloud, you silly goose, get back into bed. What are you doing out here? Boom, doing it again. Clearly, I'm trying to leave. By the third time, you would think that Eris would take the hint and just stay in bed. Mm-hmm. But no. Okay, so we eventually do get out. I do think this is where Before the next thing happens, we do get a flashback scene of Cloud, young Cloud, little baby Cloud, Cloud, talking to Claudia. Oh my God, wait, is that did I not pick that up the first time?
His mom's name?
Claudia?
I hadn't thought about it before.
Is that a thing? Okay, someone let me know if that's a thing. Because
I don't think we ever learn his mom's name in the original. I mean, maybe it's like in the lore, but I don't think when we see her in that one flashback in the original that she has a name, she's just talking.
Okay.
And this is the only time we see his mom in this version, so I...
Did not give it a lot of thought. Yeah, it can't be a coincidence. It's fine.
Yeah, write it down. Start. Get your whiteboard out. Yep. Get your red string. Get going.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Where the only note I have here is how much I hate this scene because Claudia's like, you need to find a mature girl who can keep you in line.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you need a mom. You need a wife who can be your mom.
Yes.
I hate it. I
hate it a lot. Really don't like it. Not even saying that it's not true for Cloud, just saying me as Adam, I hate it. But that's the flashback that we see before we continue to leave. Iris's mom is just sitting downstairs.
She's so at creepy. The table
waiting for us. Like, I bet you're wondering why we've gathered in here. Yeah, it's like, it was ridiculous that she's sitting down there.
It's easy to get to Sector 7. You just go through Sector 6.
Yeah, you just go to Sector 7, you idiot. it's like, okay, whatever. She's waiting down there. I don't know. This makes no sense why she's waiting down there. It's like she's not helping the situation or hurting. She's talking. How does her talking not wake Eris up, but me touching a freaking stool does? I don't know. It makes no sense. Makes no sense. Whatever, we leave, we start running through it's like a absolutely deserted nighttime sector here, and we get out, and who should be waiting for us right at the edge but Eris, who, even though was asleep before we left and I did not take any wrong turns, there was not a faster way to get there, Eris beat us there knowing that we left somehow.
She knows, you know, shortcuts that we don't know.
Sure. She knows something, I suppose. And there we are. We're going presumably back to Sector 7, although I think we're going to be taking quite a few pit stops before we actually end up getting there, if we do end up getting back there. With Eris, as we are looking out on another long journey, we're probably going to have another long walk and talk, if I had to take a guess. And who knows what else could come next, but I believe that is the end of chapter 8, a really long chapter.
Yeah. And we have another big one coming up, because next week we head to Wall Market, which I have previously said could be its own game. It is sprawling. It's huge. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to take in. We'll see if we do it in one podcast at your play speed. I think it's very likely it will be two, but we'll just see what happens as we go along. But chapter 9 is where we are headed next week with Aerith, as we then go on to try and rescue Tifa, which we know that's what's coming.
Oh my gosh, spoilers, Ed!
Spoilers for the 25-year-old video game story!
I'm not gonna lie to you, I had forgotten that Tifa got captured. So,
well, spoilers for you from 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's what we'll be up to next week. But Adam, what are you up to right now? Well, you said this is a 3-podcast day for you.
We have to say before we end here, the attractiveness list has been updated.
Oh yes, of course. How could I possibly forget?
People have been clamoring. Not really, but I have been clamoring. Okay, so I'm just gonna say, let's start at the top of the list this time, because
Rude at the top,
right? No, Rude's not at the top. It's okay. Still Biggs. There was a lot of talk in the Discord about how I should be lowering Biggs, or Charlie Sheen?
After we recorded last week, I posted in the Discord, in spoilers, I didn't want to ruin this for you, but I did say that I think Biggs looks like, fast forward if you don't want to know, Charlie Sheen. And once you see it, I think you can't unsee it.
No, but I don't see it. That's the thing. I don't, like, that's my problem.
Maybe you're not familiar with a young Charlie Sheen.
I'm not, admittedly, I'm not familiar with a young Charlie Sheen. Because
he looks particularly just like Charlie Sheen in Platoon, which is a movie from before I was born, let alone before you were born.
Okay, well, maybe young Charlie Sheen was hot as a candle. Like, I don't know. Maybe he could freaking get it. I don't know. But Biggs remains number one, Tifa remains number two, Jesse remains number three, and Barrett remains number four. No change in the top four.
Wow. Okay. Hottest thing you've ever seen hasn't even made it into the top four.
Well, the hottest thing I've ever seen is Root, who comes in at number five, because of the glasses moment. The problem, no offense to anyone out there, the problem is the baldness, and it's hard to get over that, at least for me personally. I'm so sorry. It's very shiny, but I don't know. The glasses elevate it so much that, like, this would have been way lower, but, like, good God. Pulling out that second pair of glasses, whew, gotta be going. Eris moves up to number six, was much lower last time, is moving up to number six because this was the Eris show. We got to spend a lot of time with her. Didn't really enjoy the beginning, but I think that, like, throughout, I did enjoy her more. So Eris moves up. Wedge, number seven. Number eight. Perhaps the biggest surprise out of anyone here, Zed is sending me links that I don't know what they're for, but they're very long links. They look like they look like they're trying to put a virus on my computer
just
here.
Pictures of Charlie Sheen.
They're just pictures. Of- Why? Okay, number
trying
eight.
To prove a point.
Yeah. Okay, number eight. Big shock here. The house mother. Is number eight.
Miss Folia
is number eight. Welcome to the attractiveness rankings. Welcome. Number nine, Weimer, still up there at number nine, putting in some work there. And then number 10, moved down quite a bit here, is Sephiroth, because I don't know. We saw, like, the one cutscene of Sephiroth this episode. I wasn't feeling it.
He hasn't talked in a while. And yeah, I feel like the voice is a big part of it.
I did, because his voice is, like, down. Yes, I don't know. Yes, Cloud. I'm going to talk to you in a sensual way.
I'm lower down on the list now, Cloud. So
10.
Who did we lose off the list?
Okay,
thanks to Miss Folia?
Well, we lost two from the list. We lost Cloud.
Embarrassing.
First and foremost, yeah, it is pretty embarrassing. And then we also lost Roche, who was number 10 last time. And yeah, so, yeah, he was very kickable.
We would like to forget he exists.
Yeah, it's fine. So that's the updated attractiveness rankings. We'll see what happens next week. I have to imagine in Walmart, we're going to meet a lot of people. There might be even more movement.
Okay, well, there is a cliffhanger to leave us on. Who will we meet? Who will make the list? Will Sephiroth leave? Will he come back? Who's to say? It's lots of unpredictability in this game based on a 25-year-old game. Adam, what else do you have going on?
Well, speaking of Who, you can come check me out over on Who A, talking about Doctor Who over with Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward. We have hit the start of the Tennant era, which is very exciting. We just did Tooth and Claw this upcoming episode. We had some very mixed feelings on the episode, which is very fun. So we'll see how that goes. We're going to continue through Tennant, which is very exciting. Over at One Indescribable Podcast, talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The episode releasing as this comes out is the one with also Melissa Woodward. I talked to her a lot on a lot of things. We had a really fun time talking about that episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Go check that out over at 1CXG Podcast on Twitter. Jessica Sterling and I are talking about Mythic Quest. The day that this comes out, I will be talking through the all of season two of Mythic Quest in that podcast before next week will be the start of new episodes for season three. So it's coming out starting next week. Check out our season one and season two podcast before we get into new live coverage. And then the other exciting thing that I can say is that the amazing Grace Leader and I are going through another David Tennant show that just released on Netflix called The Inside Man. It's only four episodes. And so we're going to do one episode a day this all upcoming week. So do a preview pod on Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have recaps of the four episodes as well. It's maybe not, it's maybe not the best show in the world, but the cast is really good. And actually, we're warming up to it, so I haven't actually seen the finale up to this point. We're talking about it later today. It's very exciting. And of course, Grace and I are having a really fun time. And more importantly, if you like some of the other stuff that I'm doing, it does have David Tennant, Stanley Tucci, and so wow. And it's created by Stephen Moffat. So go check out Grace and I over there talking about The Inside Man. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1.
I don't have nearly as much stuff to promote. I'm just on Twitch at twitch.tv/hardrockhope and also on Twitter at hardrockhope. We wrapped up our mole coverage, I think, probably. This past week, we did a recap of the season with the great Professor Christian Hubicki. That was really fun, getting basically like a 1-hour crash course in TV editing from Christian, followed by an excellent interview with the one and only Greg Shapiro from the season. That was a lot of fun. We did those two back to back over on RHAP. You can watch the videos on the YouTube channel or catch those podcasts in the Mole Patrol feed with Rob and Jess and Josh. That was an absolute blast. Keep your eyes out. I don't know if there's other things. I literally don't. This is not a tease. We may or may not have other interviews in the future. There was one in the works. I don't know. But otherwise, you can find me here and you can find me on Twitch. And we will catch you all again real soon with some Wall Market shenanigans. I'm going to go play. I'm going to go stream it right now. So take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.